You have your Bible, turn with us tonight, the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we'll begin reading at verse 9. And the Bible says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." I want to preach this for just a minute this evening, if God will be my help, on this thought: Jesus in person. Jesus in person. As we look at this scripture tonight, and we see, and we've read, and you're hearing, and we tell, Jesus is telling the disciples, he said, "Hey, you need to go up there, and you wait, and you need to wait for the promise of the Holy Ghost of God." He said, "And when that promise comes, he said, I want you to go into the highways and the hedges, to the uttermost parts of the earth, and compel folks to come in. Tell them there's a purpose for getting in. Tell them there's a plan for getting in. Tell them there's, praise God, a way for getting in." Amen. He said, "That's what I want to say." He said, "You go wait. Then the Holy Ghost of God comes upon you." He said, "Then you go tell them there's a reason, praise God, to be a child of God." Amen. Amen. He said, "Go tell them there's a purpose and a plan and a way." He said, "Go tell them, praise God, that God himself has made that way." Amen. Amen. As Luke begins to pin her down here and begins to tell us about the happenings, praise God. And the Bible tells us here that Jesus, praise God, is coming personally. Amen. Says Jesus, now get this in your mind tonight. Lock out everything, praise God, outside the world, and just listen to me for a minute. The Bible said Jesus is coming personally, praise God, for his saints. He's coming personally, praise God, to get you and me. He's coming personally, praise God, to fulfill his promise that he's made to me and you. Jesus is coming personally to do that for me and you. Amen. In John chapter 14, verse 3, he said, "I will come again." Amen. He didn't say I might. He didn't say I could. He said, "I will come again." Amen. He made us some promises. Look over at John. Let me just read that to you right quickly. John chapter 14. You know this very well. Very familiar passage of Scripture. John chapter 14, verse 1. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Amen. Amen. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Now you get this. Now tonight, this is personal. Yeah. Amen. Because he's a personal Savior. Amen. Amen. He's not some generic Savior, praise God. Praise God. All sides. No, he's a personal Savior. Praise God, has come down to save you and to prepare you a place. Amen. Amen. Did you know tonight, praise God, hey, you ought to look up, hold up your head, puff out your chest, and say, "Praise God, in the eyes of my Lord Jesus, I'm special." Yeah, right. Amen. You realize, praise God, in the eyes of the Lord tonight, you're special. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm not saved, I'm lost." Praise God, you're still special. He's still gone to prepare a place for you, even though you haven't received him. Right. You're still special. Yeah. Praise God. What about that, devil? He don't like it. But praise God, you're still special. Because he's a personal Savior. So Jesus says here, he said, "I will come again." Amen. He said, "I will come again." Amen. I will, now get it, "I will come again." He came once, he's coming again. We need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. I wonder, what if the Lord come today? Ain't going to be a whole lot of folks that's going to be left behind. They're going to go into the awfulest time. The Bible said that during that tribulation period, the Spirit of God's withdrawn because he's in the people of God. It's gone home. And the devil's going to be unleashed. And praise God, all hell's going to break loose here on earth. Yeah. A time like you've never known. You think it's wicked now. You think it's killing going on now. Praise God, it ain't a drop in a bucket. What it'll be, praise God, when the church is raptured out, going to be with Jesus. Because the Bible said he's coming to get us. Praise God, and we're going out of here. We need to be getting ready, youngins. We need to be doing whatever it takes to get them in, because if not, they're going to miss out. Yeah. The Bible says Jesus is coming again. Yeah. Amen. Personally. Jesus is coming personally. Now, don't forget that. He's coming personally. Yeah. Amen. Hey, listen. He's not going to send somebody to get you, praise God. He's coming to get you personally. There's a lot of people say, well, you know, the death angel sweep through here and it'll get you. No, no, if you're a child of God, the Bible says he's coming to get you personally. You say, well, I don't believe that. Brother, you believe what you want to. I believe, Brother Gary, he's coming to get me personally. I believe he's going to give me a personal escort, praise God, into the throne of grace. Amen. Hey, glory to God. You say, well, I don't believe. I'll show you in a minute. Praise God, just hang on. But he said he's coming again. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, he said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Amen. The Lord himself, he ain't going to send somebody to do his job. Yeah. Amen. You know, most of us, we try to put it off on somebody else. We try to get somebody else to go do it for us. Amen. You know, we ought to get old Brother Bill to go over there and see them. Huh? We ought to get somebody else to do that for us down to work. So we can sit around, sip coffee, and eat donuts like you need another one. Amen? But praise God. Hey, listen, I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said he's coming personally. Yeah. Amen. Jesus is coming in person. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, so just hang on. Yeah. Amen? I ain't just telling you. I want you to get it in your mind that Jesus is coming personally. Amen. He don't have some little old nymph like a devil to run over and to check on you, praise God. He's coming personally. Yeah. Amen. He comes personally through the Holy Ghost of God. Yeah. Hey, everything the Holy Ghost of God gives you comes directly from Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Holy Ghost of God, hey, he won't come tell you nothing. They come from Jesus. Yeah. Amen. He said, hey, whatever the Father gives you. He said, I take it, I give it to you. He said, it's come from me, praise God. Every gift, every blessing, every hope, everything, even image of peace that you have comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying we ought to put more stock in Jesus. Yeah. Amen. We ought to put more faith in Jesus. We ought to put more trust in Jesus because he's coming, praise God, for us. Now, the Bible says in verse 10 here, it said that there was two angels appeared, two men in white array. Now, number two is the number of a witness. Amen? Praise God. Now he said, hey, this same Jesus that you've seen go up. Praise God. He said, why are you just standing gazing up in heaven? This same Jesus you've seen being taken up in the cloud said he's coming again. Yeah. Amen? Now, two is the number of a witness. If now one just said it, well, you said, well, you know, he probably didn't know what he's talking about. But there was two of them, praise God. Yeah. Amen? And they both agreed. And they said, hey, yeah, he's coming again. Praise God. Glory to God. This same Jesus. Not a different one. The same one. The same one you seen go up. Same one that walked on earth. Same one that died on the cross. Same one that got up on third and appointed morning. The same one, praise God, it's ascended up into heaven. That same Jesus is coming again. And he's coming again for me and you. Amen. He's coming for me and you, praise God. We got to expect him to come. Now, these people today say, praise God, it says, we can't expect, we need not expect a personal return of the Lord. I was reading that after a fellow the other day a while back, and he said, you know, we don't need to expect a personal return of the Lord. You know, the Lord just comes down, and he blesses, he does wonders for us, and he does glories and offers up blessings for us. And praise God, we ought to just be happy with those, we ought to be satisfied with those, and praise God, just accept those and just take in all you can get. Praise God, you know what I'm saying, get all you can and can't all you get. Praise God, looking for what God can do for me, what I can get from him. Praise God, just can't it up and praise God, hang on to it. He said, that's what we need to do. He said, we don't really need to expect the Lord to come back personally. Amen. I read that and I closed up the book and I said, you know what? I don't believe you're saved. Amen. I did. I'm supposed to be a man of God. And I'm sure he's done a lot of wonderful things for somebody, but he didn't help me none. Oh, praise God, what he was trying to tell me don't line up with what Jesus said. Amen. Now, I've learned a long time ago, praise God, if it don't line up with what Jesus said, then just leave her alone. Amen. Amen. It's for naught. Praise God. But he said, hey, listen, he said, you don't need to expect a physical return, a personal return. I expect it from a personal Savior. Amen. I've been saved personally by the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for me. You say, well, preacher, no, he died for the whole world. He died for me. And he died for you, priest. Praise God. He didn't just slump it all in. But he said before the foundation of the world, Brother Rex, glory be to God, said he died for me. Amen. When he was hanging on the cross, who was on his mind? I was. Amen. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. If I didn't, I'd just throw her up. I'd load her up, pack her up, go to the house, put it on the shelf. But praise God, I believe tonight that he died for me. And I believe on that third point day, praise God, he got up for me. So that I can get up from my old wicked sin, praise God. I don't have to abide in it no more. Amen. I used to be a mean little old fella. I know you wouldn't believe that. My cousin here tonight, she tell you. I was pretty mean little old fella. Amen. But you know what? When Jesus got a hold of my heart and he saved me, and I begin to live for him, I begin to redirect my thoughts and my attitude, my mind, and my actions. Praise God, I'm not that fella no more. Thank God. Amen. If I was, you'd run me off a long time ago. But praise God, I'm not that man no more. Since Jesus saved me, he moved into my life, he began to make a difference in me. So I have to question this old fella and say, well, praise God, if you've truly been born again, and you don't believe in a personal return of the Lord Jesus Christ, then something's wrong. I don't think he's saved. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I don't really believe in a personal return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you may not be saved. Amen. You say, you're trying to get us to doubt ourselves. Hey, no, I'm saying, praise God, I'm not trying to get you to doubt nothing. I'm trying to get you to know that you know, praise God, that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. He ascended and he's coming again. We need to know that he's coming again, praise God. We need to be expecting him to come again. Amen. What if we don't expect to come again, what do we do with Luke chapter 21, verse 28? We said, we lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh. Yeah. What are we looking for? Yeah. Huh? What are they looking for? Well, you know, it's just those wonders and those glories and those blessings. Hogwash. Let me just illustrate this if I can. Can I illustrate it, Jesse? Amen. Pray for me. Let me just paint you a picture. So you have a bridegroom, and you don't have a bridegroom unless you got a bride. Yeah. Amen? So you got a bridegroom and you got a bride. Well, the bridegroom takes the bride, and he tells her, he said, hey, listen. He said, you just hang out here for a little while. He said, I've got to go to a far land. He said, I'm going to make a place for you. Ain't that what he said? Didn't I read that to you in your hearing? Yeah. He said, I have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Okay? Said, I'm going to prepare a place. Said, you hang out here. He said, I love you to pieces. That's what Miss Edwards says all the time. That tickles me to death. She said, I just love that little church to pieces. Amen. But he said, hey, I love you to pieces. I'm going to go to a far land and I'm going to build a place for you. And when once I get her built, I'm coming to get you. So the bridegroom, he goes off and he goes to build that place. Amen. To prepare a place. For his sweetie. Yeah. Amen. He goes to prepare a place. He said, I'm going to go prepare you a place. Amen. It's a special place because she's special. Amen. Amen. You wouldn't go build her a shack out of cardboard. Amen. You can get that here. Praise God. You wouldn't build her a mansion out of marble. Because you can get that here. He said, I'm going to go build you a place. Praise God. A spectacular place. Amen. So he goes off on his journey. He's gone for a while. And then you know what happens? Back at the house, that little bride's waiting, and boy, she's anticipating the coming of her bridegroom. Amen. She's looking for him every day. You know, gets up every morning, pulls that window open to the east, and gets out there from the direction he went, and gets out there looking at that window, praise God, expecting him coming any minute. Boy, all excited. Boy, this could be the day. This could be the day that he comes back, praise God. And she's watching that window. And then all of a sudden somebody knocks the door. She goes and opens the door and she says, are you the bride? Oh, yes, I'm the bride. I said, well, I've got a little package here for you. Amen. So she takes that package and she goes in there and she looks at it. And then on the name tag it says, from the bridegroom. Amen. So that bride opens that up. She tears it open, you know, and she opens it up real carefully. She looks at it and said, it's a gift from the bridegroom. Amen. And she takes that gift out, boy, and what a blessing it is to her. And she cherishes it. And she says, oh, man, this is from the bridegroom. He done sent me a gift. Amen. Huh? And then a little while later, you know, a little token comes along. Just to let her know, praise God, that he still loves her, that he still thinks that she's the most important thing on his mind. A little gift, a little token. She keeps her excited. Amen. Kind of what God does with us, you know, he gives us a little gift. He gives us just a little blessing. He gives us, shows us just a little mercy, a little tenderness, a little kind, a little bit of love, praise God. Keeps us excited, praise God, looking for him. Amen. And that bride, she just keeps getting those little tokens. Amen. You ever get little tokens? Amen. Little tokens from the Lord, praise God, just to show you that he loves you. You say, well, preacher, I don't know if I do or not. You're still here a breathing, ain't you? Huh? You're here breathing, praise God. You could be laying up here in this with 6 foot of dirt on your face. Yeah. Amen. You could be laying up here in a hole. Dead, graveyard dead. Praise God. But he gives you a gift every day. He gives you every day as a gift. He gives you little tokens. He gives you little gifts all along. So this bride, praise God, she's here. She's waiting on that when it's gone off to prepare a place for her. And she begins to imagine in her mind, she begins to wonder what kind of place that is. She thinks, but what most the most exciting thing about her in her mind is that bridegroom. She's thinking about that bridegroom. Amen. So she's receiving these things, but then this old fella comes along. You know, the old fella, he's always going to come along. And she gets in there, and he's talking to her, and she begins to tell him how good the bridegroom is. She begins to tell him about these little old gifts that she's been receiving from the bridegroom. She begins to tell him about them little tokens of love, those little love notes coming from the bridegroom from a far land. Amen. And how he seals them just right. He seals them on purpose. And how she just knows that he's just sealing them up with love. Amen. Coming from a far land. And this old fella listens to her and listens to her stories. And then he said, well, you know what? You can't really expect him to come in person. You know, he's sending you these gifts. And he's sending you these tokens of his love, and he's showing you his mercy, and he's bestowing all these things upon you. You really can't expect him to come personally for you. Said, so you really can't expect that from him. You know, he's in a far land, probably got a lot of things on his mind. He's probably thinking, he's thinking about a whole lot of others that he loves dear. Amen. He said, you can't really expect him to just come personally for you. He said, you're just thinking out of terms. He said, you need to quit thinking like that, and you need to just start thinking, praise God, about the things that you're getting. You need to just be faithful. You just need to be locked in on what God's a blessing you with and how you're receiving these little old gifts from the other side, from that far land, and you're getting them little tokens, praise God, from the bridegroom just about every day. He's getting them to you right regular on purpose, and you just need to be thinking about those things that he's giving you. Don't think about it. Don't just forget about that personal coming. See, that's hogwash. You don't need to think about that. That's irrelevant. But Jesus says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Amen? Now that little bride, she thinks on that and ponders on that a minute, but it don't take her long to think about it. And she looks this old fella between Beak and Bill, and she says, now wait a minute, fella. I appreciate what you're saying. And I know that, you know, you say, I need to just be satisfied with what I'm getting here. I need to just be satisfied with these little gifts and these little tokens that God's that's a coming from the bridegroom. And, you know, just to not get so excited about seeing him in person, but praise God, just get to thinking about the thing. But you know what's wrong with that theology? Praise God, we can't have that. That's what most churches have. Man, we get saved, and praise God, I get to thinking about heaven. Hey, I'll tell you the reason I got saved, praise God, because the Lord Jesus Christ, I realized I was a sinner and he is a Savior, and praise God, I run to him. But it's because I was afraid of a place called hell, and I'd rather be in heaven. Yes, amen. I didn't know a whole lot about my Savior. Amen. We hadn't formed a personal relationship yet. I want to say tonight, praise God, there's a lot of folks sitting in Baptist churches that have never formed a personal relationship with the bridegroom. Yeah. Amen? We're still looking for the gifts and the tokens. Huh? And the old devil said, hey, well, you just be satisfied with what you got. Don't be looking for anything else. Ain't no sense, praise God, you think about anything better than this. He said, well, preacher, I think about heaven, and heaven's a whole lot better than this. Sure it is. Sure it is. But that, praise God, I tell you what that bride was looking for. She wasn't looking for the gifts. She wasn't looking for those tokens. She wasn't looking for some little old trinket, praise God, that she could put around her neck. She was looking for the bridegroom. Amen. Praise God. Hey, she wasn't looking for what she could lay hands on. She wasn't looking for what would help her financially. I know God will bless you. God will help you. Praise God if you try to do right, because you can't outgive God. Amen. And if we sell out to Him, praise God, allow God to begin to work in our heart, to add again to our soul, praise God, we can be better than what we used to be. I told you, God, I used to be a mean little boy. Praise God. But God came to where I was at and He saved me. Amen. Saved me. Now the devil would love to have me. I'd have been a good one for him. Amen. Because I was sneaky. I could get by with it. I wouldn't get caught. Amen. I hardly ever got caught. I got caught, I'd blame it on Carla. She made me do it. Amen. But pray God, hey, listen, why? Because God got a hold of my heart and He saved me. If he hadn't got a hold of my heart, now you young people, listen, if he hadn't got a hold of my heart, I might have been out here in the world. I might have been anything, praise God, that the world wanted me to be. I might have been out here, praise God, being some old gangbanger. Amen. Doing some old filthy junk, trying to buy stuff. Praise God, I will tell you something. They ain't nothing to a gangbanger. Amen. Let me just throw this in here while I'm here. They ain't nothing to a gangbanger. They ain't nothing but a punk. A gangbanger ain't nothing but a punk. That's all they are. They're a punk. They're cowards. That's why they run in packs like a bunch of dogs. Because they're just a bunch of wicked things. Praise God, ain't got God in their heart. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, listen. A gangbanger ain't a man. A gangbanger's a punk. Amen. They're trying to infiltrate. They're trying to take over. But praise God, I tell you what a man is. A man stand up and take his responsibility. He'll be a man. He'll be useful in the community. And praise God, he'll get something done for the glory of God. A man ain't a punk. These gangbangers are punks. All the gangbangers are punk. You remember your pastor told you a gangbanger ain't nothing but a punk. They're cowards. Amen. That's why they get caught up in what they get caught up in, because they can run with a pack, praise God, and want somebody else to take care of them. Amen. Because they're not man or woman enough to take care of themselves. Amen. They're punks. You say, well, I don't like that. I'll go tell them. Go tell them. Amen. Tell your pastor said they're punks. Amen. It's all they are. Good for nothing punks. Amen. I just throw that in their own purpose. Glory be to God. Because the love of God, praise God, is far better than being a punk. Amen. I'd rather be a child of God. I'd rather be headed in the right direction with a hope and a purpose in my heart than be a punk. I could have very easily been a punk. But I don't want to be a punk. I want to be something that God be proud of. I want to be something, praise God, that the Lord Jesus Christ could be pleased with. Amen. There's enough punks out there for to pave every street in Nashville. But praise God, I'd rather have I tell you what, stand up, Jesse. Stand up here, buddy. I tell you, I'd rather have this man right here. You know, he ain't a man. He's still in high school. I don't care. He's a man. Because he's standing up trying to live for Jesus. He's a man. He's more a man than any of those punks in any gang. Amen. I appreciate you, Jesse. Praise God. Amen. Amen. He's a man. Amen. Glory to God. Whew. Praise God. I felt good. Amen. Amen. Because God's in. Hey, listen. God's in control. So that bride says he said, "Hey, you need to just be satisfied with the things you can get. Hey, it's not what I get from Him. Praise God. That makes me love Him. So it's who He is." I preached that, and she said, I can hear the bride say to this man, she said, hey, listen, I appreciate all the Lord's given me. I appreciate the wonders that I see Him do in my life. I appreciate those tokens of love that He sends my way. I appreciate that little hug of assurance that He gives me, praise God, on purpose. I appreciate Him coming by, praise God, in the dark and the night, and just tell me how much He loves me. I appreciate that. But I'm not going to be satisfied with that. Are you hearing me? We can't be satisfied with what we can lay our hands on. We can't be satisfied with what we can get. We can't be satisfied with what we can have. We can't be satisfied. That little bride would look at that old man in the face, which is the devil and the demon of hell, and she'd say, hey, it's not about the things. It's about the Savior. Amen. It's about the bridegroom. Amen. It's about that bridegroom that I'm excited about. She said, it's about that bridegroom that I'm a-looking for. It's the bridegroom that I'm a-longing for. She said, I'm not going to be satisfied till I see Him face to face. Amen. I'm not going to be satisfied till I see Him face to face. When I see Jesus face to face. Amen. And I'm made perfect like He is. How can you be made perfect like He is? When I see Him face to face, I'll be like He is. Amen. See what I'm saying? We can't settle for second best. Amen. We can't settle. We can't just settle for the things that we get. We can't just settle for the little tokens and the little gifts that God just rains down on us on purpose. We can't be satisfied. Don't let the world coax you into trying to be satisfied with something else. Because Jesus is the only thing, praise God, that'll satisfy you in the depths of your soul. Amen. Right. See, these things, even the little tokens that we get from God, those little gifts, those little tokens, those little glories, those little wonders, those little blessings that we get from God. Amen. It won't amount to nothing compared to when we get to be in His presence. Amen. Forever. Because we've been given eternal life through Him. Amen. And whenever we leave out of here, praise God, and we get in His presence, then we'll truly begin to live and live and live forever. This life here is fleeting. It's like a vapor. So we don't need to be looking at the things and the gifts and the tokens that we can get. But we need to be looking to the Savior who saved us. We need to be looking for the glory that we'll behold when we see Him face to face. Jesus is coming personally for me and you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Amen. Listen, don't settle for nothing less. Don't be satisfied with this world. Luke said, we need to look up. But you know, I got thinking. Luke wrote that in Luke 21:28. He said, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. And then over here in Luke, in Acts chapter 1, Luke wrote this. He said, hey, listen, He's coming again. Yeah. Amen. He's coming again. He said, look up, lift up your eyes. Your redemption's drawing nigh. And then back here in Acts, he said, hey, listen, lift up your head. He said, just look. He said, this same Jesus which is taken up from you shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go. So just like you've seen Him go up in the cloud, take Him back, He said, praise God, He's coming again. Yeah. And He's coming for you. Amen. He's coming for you. Jesus in person is coming for you. He's coming for me. Hey, if you're saved today, amen, if you're saved today, if you're a child of God, Jesus is coming for you. Hey, if anybody, when the old devil rears up in your face and tries to defeat you, try to tell you that you can't be somebody, you just look at him and say, hey, listen, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm looking for Him. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I'm looking for Him. They say, well, have you seen Him? But nobody's coming. How do you know He's coming? Because He said He would. Amen. He said He would. He said, I'm coming to you that where I am, there you may be also. He said, I'm coming for you. He said, it's personal. Amen. That's why He said that the Father's got us in His hand. And He said, I covered you with my blood. We're encapsulated. Yeah. Amen. In the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've been born again. And then the Holy Ghost combined. Just breathes on you. Tells you how much the bridegroom loves you from afar. Amen. But that bride, she looks up at that old fellow and she says, hey, listen. She said, you be satisfied with what you can get if you want to. But she said, I'll not be satisfied till I see the bridegroom. Amen. I want to say tonight, church, we shouldn't be satisfied till we see the bridegroom. Amen. Nothing should satisfy us, pray God, but seeing the bridegroom. We ought to be thankful. We ought to praise. We ought to praise Him. We ought to be thankful for all that He gives us. But praise God, we oughtn't to be satisfied till we see Him face to face. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the only thing, praise God, she said would satisfy her. She said, well, you say we'll be satisfied. She said, I'll tell you what. She said, I'll be satisfied. Because the only thing I'm longing for is to see Him. He said, I'll be satisfied when I see Him. Amen. Listen, when will you be satisfied? When you see Jesus. We shouldn't be satisfied till we see Jesus. But you know, that ought to be in our prayer life, in our daily life. Amen. We ought to be satisfied till we see Jesus. We was in a prayer room and the fellas was talking and talking around the room and talking about how God had been blessing them, how God had been helping them, how God had been intervening in their lives and helping them to make the right choices and say the right things. Amen. What are you talking about, Pastor? What does that mean? It means that they're not satisfied till they see Him. See, we can't be satisfied with the life that we have now unless we can see Jesus in it. Because He changes from the inside out and makes us a different person. The Bible said you become a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're not that old person that you used to be. Amen. And you're not that person that you're going to be in Christ Jesus the Lord. So we shouldn't be satisfied tonight, church, till we see Him. Amen.